I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On to the great Broncos, the ambush season. It's upon us. We are here. I'm allowed to tell you guys now. Over the last few years, I wasn't allowed to tell you that 2022 was the year of the ambush because, you know, we got deep. You know, we had a lot of meetings, a lot of high-level meetings, huge NDAs signed. You know, these are million-dollar meetings I'm talking about here, boys. Million-dollar meetings. But I've finally been released from the NDA, and I can officially tell you that it's the year of the ambush.
Fuck, you played your role well. Good God. The year of the ambush is here.
Now, in the second row, average experience is 28, which is very low. Average age is 22. Props. Average experience, 67. Average age is 26, which is quite surprising because you wouldn't associate that with the Broncos because they've been so young so lately. Hooker. This has been bugging me ever since Anthony Seibold let go of Andrew McCulloch. In a top squad, you need more than one hooker. I don't understand why the Broncos... I know that Corey Pakes is a utility. Is he in that... But he's probably not... So he's probably in the extended squad then because he's not on this list.
Yeah, only there's no developments on this list. Yeah.
They let Andrew McCulloch go twice.
Yeah.
Once, twice.
And that's what I couldn't understand. It's like, don't get me wrong, Turpin, good developing player coming through. But you need more than one hooker in your squad. Yep. I don't get it. I do not understand.
Remember when Alex Glenn was jumping in at nine for a little bit here and there? And it was just like, what
are we doing?
Yep.
And this is when we talk about squad balance and how much one bad year of recruitment can just implode your whole squad. So huge concern. The biggest concern for me for the Broncos is the fact that we only have one full-time hooker. I know Corey Pake... But Corey Pakes, when he was coming through, was just a utility.
Yeah.
He's been trying to mold him into a hooker, which is great. Like I think they've got Matt Ballon there now, which is really, really good. But I really hope that we have another hooker in another two hookers in development than just one. Anyway, on to Locke, Paddy Carrigan, Kobe Hetherington.
Well, you have got Billy Walters too.
Not a hooker though.
Oh, he's played a fair whack of hooker over the last few years though.
Do you reckon?
Oh, fuck, I thought he looked better at hooker than
really?
5'8", to be honest with you.
Okay, but fair enough. I'm a real fan of specialist hookers.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a real fan of like kind of like fullbacks now. You can't afford to have just a really fast fullback that's a good ball runner. Yep. You need a specialist fullback.
Well, I mean, yeah, have a look at Melbourne. Even when they had Cam Smith, they always had another three or four hookers floating around.
In a position that is you grind so much and such a high chance of injury. So it's really surprising to me.
Now, look at Newcastle when we take Brayley out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, in saying that, maybe they've got a couple guys in the development side of things that... anyway, Locke, Paddy Carrigan, I don't think he's a lock. I think he's a front rower, but he can play lock. Gets through a ton of work. Kobe Hetherington, was such a fan of him last year. I thought he really glued the side together and he can ball play. Their average experience is 30 games, so quite young. Average age 23. Fullback, average experience 67. Average age is 24. The male is that Tessie New will get that first crack. I think long term, you're probably going to have Selwyn Cobbo there. David Mead, obviously experienced, you know, really can come in and do a job. Outside backs, players seven, which is, yeah, that's okay. So you haven't gone wing in centre. Okay, outside backs, player seven. Average experience, 79. And their average age is 26. Halves. So we're probably maybe halves heavy.
Yeah, there's a lot of halves there. There is a heap of halves. But you'd rather have too many than not enough.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I like that Gamble, Walters, Kelly, Mam. Mate, we haven't even got, what's his name on there? Tamari Martin.
Yes.
So that's seven.
That's seven. But that's where I would trade one of this for another specialist hooker.
Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean? I just think that we know Adam Reynolds is our guy. Obviously, if he gets injured, you know. The thing with Adam Reynolds is if he gets injured, we're fucked.
Yeah, okay.
Like that's just the truth.
But that's the vast majority of teams. Yeah. They're halfback, their best player. So.
Except for like fucking Roosters.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So average experience is 55. Average age is 26. Ezra Mann, a lot of potential. Seen anything. Billy Walters, obviously Tyson Gamble, really liked the attitude that he brought last year. Albert Kelly, a little bit older, but he did a job. Going to be really interesting what the Broncos do, who they partner with Reynolds, because it's not as simple as like, this is the best player, so put him with Reynolds. He has to complement the way Adam Reynolds plays. So you know what's crazy? You know, I could be totally wrong, but I actually think it's going to be Adam Reynolds that makes that decision. I actually think Kevvy Walters is smart enough to know Adam Reynolds knows who's going to be the best
player. That makes the most sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, surely.
He's been around the block enough to know what works for him, what works for his football. Mate, I really think that Tamari Martin, if he manages to get himself back, I think people forget how good he was.
100%. Totally agree.
You look back to 2017, he played in that final series. Mate, he absolutely brained it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He scored a great individual try against the Chooks in the prelim. He scored the only try in the grand final. He's done an apprenticeship under Mick Morgan and Thurston, two of the best halves of this generation. I know it's a small thing, but I see him at training how much he's smiling and enjoying himself.
Yeah.
I reckon it could be anything for tomorrow.
Good signs, absolutely. It's a great pickup for the Broncos. You get him for absolute peanuts, probably on development role. And if he's healthy, he would be desperate to get back to the top.
If Gamble isn't the six, you've got to have him somewhere, don't you?
I think you've got to have Gamble in the side as a 14. I think that you could bring him on. He could probably play a bit of hooker. He could probably fill in at lock.
Yeah, that's right.
Just the energy. Yeah. You know, I actually like him as a 13. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen him play there, but I just think the way
he's
plays.
He's a footballer, though. You know he's going to be able to.
I agree. Now, I just think there's this intangible that he brings to that squad that they really need as a young squad.
Whereas I look at an Albert Kelly and I think if he's not six, he's probably not in my team.
Yeah, I agree. If he's not the six that really complements Reynolds, great running game, bit bigger body now, which is interesting because he started off as a bit of a small body, but he's really
very small body. Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. Albert Kelly, it's kind of like you either use him as a six or that's it. Whereas a Tyson Gamble, I just think you need to find a way to get him into that 17 role. Maybe put a few extra kilos on him so that he can play that 14 role.
Yeah.
The problem with a guy like Gamble is like because he doesn't set the world alight. It's a hard sell to go, you're the six for the whole year when you've got guys like even Albert Kelly, you've got Ezra Mam, who is, you know, you watch his highlights, he's explosive as fuck.
He's got 14 written on his forehead to me, Ezra Mam. I think he could be, he's very raw, very young, but just have a look at those stats from Queensland Cup.
Yeah.
It was a try and a try assist every week. And he's very
explosive, very explosive. So look, I think we're in a much better position. I mean, there was a period there. When you looked at the Broncos squad like 2020 in their halves, we were calling back Carmichael 2021 when he called him back Carmichael Hunt. That's how, and that's not like I honestly think Carmichael is one of the most underrated fullbacks to ever play the game,
without a doubt.
Ever play the game?
Yeah.
He kept Billy Slater out of the Queensland.
I think Slater's career could be very different if Carmichael didn't leave.
That's how good I think he is. Yeah. But you know, to be that desperate that we need to call him back to play six when he'd barely played really much six at all in the NRL.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not much. That was the state.
It was still 12 years ago.
Yeah, that was the state of our roster.
Now. Yeah.
The state of our roster. We were calling guys back like, we couldn't fucking find a half.
And I actually remember thinking this might actually be good for them. Like, you put it in a vortex and say, we're bringing Carmichael back after he's played AFL Union for 12 years.
Yeah. That's how bad we were.
Yeah, that's how bad you were going. Yeah. But at the time, I was like, fuck, this might actually help them.
Yeah.
Just scary.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. So I think we're in a much better position than we were. And I think the Martin signing is just beautiful because he is an NRL elite level half.
Yeah,
Sure. Does he still have it? That's the question. So hopefully he does. outside backs, I think we're building nicely here. We spoke about it before the podcast, but one of the smokies that I'm a massive fan of is Jordan Pereira.
Yeah, has been underutilized his entire career.
I know he makes errors. I understand that, but there were periods there, 2018, 2019. Fuck me, he was running the ball like To'o. Like, well, that's,
and people laugh when you compare him to To'o, but he's got that sort of ability.
Yeah, he has, absolutely. Yeah. Now, you know, he's not, To'o is probably the best winger in the comp right now, like, as in form wise, so don't get me wrong. But Jordan Pereira is a really, really good player. And then when you look at, you've got Jordan Pereira, Katoni Staggs, Herbie Farmworth, Selwyn Cobbo coming out of your end, that's a dangerous explosive outside back group.
I reckon there's a good chance Corey Oates misses out,
which is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. But I think that outside backs, like, I'm pretty happy with it.
Katoni's the man there, though.
Yeah, you need him fit. If he's not fit, we'll rely too heavily on Selwyn, and then you don't want him to be the guy already. You need him to slowly move into it. But I mean, if you can get Selwyn and Katoni firing, that's top tier.
I'm genuinely excited to watch Brisbane play.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been like that for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
Especially now you got that ambush coming our way. Could be anything.
Well, look, it's official. Just so you know, it's all official. NDAs have all been lifted, contracts signed, millions of dollars. The ambush is coming. You can either get on board or in 12 months' time, you can say, fuck me, Kempe. She listened to you. Now, interesting person. So Herbie Farmworth recently linked to Super League?
Linked to somewhere, yeah.
Linked to somewhere, which is really interesting, the timing of it, because you get Katoni Staggs in the big deal. Selwyn Cobbo has a breakout year. All of a sudden, managers start going, fuck, Herbie Farmworth's a quality player that's just dropped the pecking order a little. As in, he hasn't dropped the pecking order because he was one. I'm a huge fan of Herbie. Through all of our tough times, he fucking had
a Herbie was in a Sydney team for the last few years, it'd be, he's a very talented player.
Very talented. I really like him. But if you're sitting there as a manager watching that and you go, fuck, Selwyn Cobbo's come through, looks like a once-in-a-generation talent. Yeah. Katoni Staggs is unfucking believable. All of a sudden, money-wise and position-wise in that back line, you're not going to get a big contract.
Yeah.
Because they just can't afford it. It's an interesting one because we desperately need to keep him. We desperately need to keep him. What do you think the future holds for Herbie Farmworth?
I think Wayne would be keeping a close eye on it too, just quietly.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of guys in this Brisbane side. I think the loser out of Albert Kelly and Tyson Gamble and Tamari could end up at the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think the loser in this back line, whether it's Oates, whether it's Farnworth, not loser, sorry, the guy that misses out or doesn't have a seat.
See, I think
the
real danger of losing Oates and him killing it at Redcliffe because Wayne... Yep. He killed it under Wayne?
Yeah, he flew under Wayne. So, I mean, Isako's already going there. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more that do join. I mean, and if Selwyn brains it this year and ends up at fullback by the end of the season, Tessie could become an option for him.
Like, that's true. And there were Tessie was linked to the Titans as well.
Yep, and I'm sure if they can find a way to get Reece Walsh back, they will in a heartbeat.
Yep.
So,
question. Do you think... So, the Broncos have gone Tessie New at fullback and you know... He may be the fullback for the next 10 years. But do you think the Broncos are, and people don't, you know, Knights fans don't like when I talk about this, are putting together a bit of kitty to have a crack at Ponga?
Potentially.
Because, like, they've got, obviously, Kate Will on the edge, they've got Reynolds, but they haven't got, they haven't really gone into market for a six to get to pay a lot for a six, do you know what I mean? For, to partner Reynolds. And I wonder whether that is because they're putting together something for Kalyn Ponga this year.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, you know, obviously having Kevin Walters in there, I assume timing-wise he handed KP's first Origin jersey, so be a relationship there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like outside of Reynolds, but Reynolds is 31, 2-3 years left, I guess. Like, they could be – KP might not be a bad shout.
Because, you know, he plays this year out, or, you know, maybe he agrees for a 1 year extension. You know what I mean? Because like the Kalen's in such a position where he could say the Knights, oh, I'm just going to do that one year.
He's got so many chips in his corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not even funny.
If I was the Broncos and I had the cash, I would either be preparing for a Munster raid in 2023 or preparing for a Kalen Ponga raid in 2023 also.
Imagine if it overlaps where you get a season where you got Reynolds, Munster, Stags, Haas. Like that would be a danger. That'd be back to your old Broncos.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. The only difference,
Selwyn in 2 years' time.
The only difference would be that hard edge up front that we've always had. Like that's an underrated thing of the Broncos of the past is we had a hard nose edge. Petro Sivinaceva, Brad Thorne, Shane Webby.
2 years, Hetherington, Carrigan. Well, there's guys there that have got potential.
But he's still Carrigan would only still be 25. Haas will be 22.
Yeah.
They just won't be that like 26, 7, 8, 9, that real like mongrel adult kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I see your point, though.
But in saying that, there is no current NRL team that for me has what you guys had back
then
either.
Good point. Good point. Good point. But I do think that's an often underlooked thing of the Brisbane Broncos of the past. We were seen as a glamorous club. But it's almost like the Roosters of today.
Mm.
They're seen as a very glamorous club, but they're fucking dogs.
Yep.
They're fucking dogs in that forward pack. And the Broncos were similar. Like fucking Dane Carlaw, like David
Thorne.
Brad Thorne.
No one even talks about Brad Thorne.
Tony Carroll.
Yeah, Tunza.
You know, like, fuck, that was a dog forward pack. That forward pack could challenge the Australian forward pack.
Yeah.
If you went forward pack, any forward pack.
Yeah.
Even the 8 in a row Queensland forward pack.
I think that's the thing with the Broncos. You look, since they started, it has just been a constant run of champion players that have brought on the next generation. It's kind of like now there's a little gap and you're almost having to start from scratch.
It's like starting from scratch, but also this is what I think happened. And this is just my opinion, but Broncos recruitment was run by Cyril Connell. And he was a legend in the game. He was the guy that got all these... He scouted me and everything like that. Well, him and Ivan Hedjak. And so he was getting older and passed away. Then his kind of understudy was a guy named Paul Bunn. Mm. And so in 2008, guess where Paul Bunn went?
Melbourne.
Melbourne Storm.
Shock me.
Melbourne Storm. 2007, I think, actually.
Same time Peter O'Sullivan went there too, wasn't it?
I think it might have been 2007, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2007 or 8. Guess when... So Broncos... So Melbourne win their first premiership, 2007 or 8? 7.
No, 7 they lost, 8 they won.
Yeah.
No, 7 they won. 7 they won.
So 7 they won. So if he went into the first year that he arrived, let's say it's 2007, because I think it was... That coincides with Paul Bunn going there. Ever since then, they have essentially been the Broncos of this generation. And that's a very unknown fact about, like, when you look at the Broncos, you say, how come, you know, and Wayne managed to hold it together, like, because we had that base already built, you know, we were getting the best, like, the Broncos got the best kids out of school. It was almost a given. Like, you go live up in Brisbane at the Broncos, you know, it's a glamour club. And Wayne managed to hold that together. So, we lost Paul Bunn. Then Wayne left in 2008, and so that period of 2009 till 2015, it kind of gutted that bottom bit. It's like a jigsaw, like playing jigsaw. It kind of pulled that last bit out, and that's why we didn't see the ramifications until now, because like, you know, 2009 to 15 is basically when that next generation, by the time 2020 rolls around, is going to be ready to play. And I think that period is why we fell so far, because we lost that kind of development.
I mean, like we just spoke about this guy on the screen, Jack Hallward. He's, you know, born in 2002. You know, he's 20 years old. He's seen Brisbane win one premiership.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I grew up watching Brisbane win a premiership every second fucking year.
Yep.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy as well is like he is literally one of the best players coming out of school. Guess who recruited him down to Melbourne?
Yeah.
Most likely, I mean, Paul Bunn is their guy. guess where he's from? Mackay. You telling me Paul Bunn isn't getting him to the Broncos if he, you know, if we were still...
It's funny, like, you look at that timing. Paul Bunn left and won premiership after premiership. Wayne left and went minor premiership at the Dragons.
Yep.
Came back and you were 2.5 seconds from winning another premiership with Wayne.
Yeah, so that's what I think has happened. But I think you know, Kevy Walters has identified that, and Ben Eichen, and understand that. That's why a lot of these ex-players now are back mentoring the boys. You know, don't get me wrong. It is good to be scientific. It is good to be new and look towards the future. But there's something about tradition and connecting yourself to the past that you need to do as a club. Otherwise, what are you playing for? Like, it's just a jersey. It's just a piece of material. The reason why the Broncos has such a glamorous reputation is because of everything that happened before it, from the men that made that badge what it was. If you disconnect young men from that, they're not playing for anything other than your paycheck. It's just a job. You need to be playing for something bigger than yourself.
And they started from the absolute bottom.
Yeah.
Like my uncle was a journo up in Brisbane, and he told me a story once that Powers Brewing, first major sponsor, when they were signed on as major sponsor, they hadn't sold a beer yet.
No way.
And then and that's what the Broncos, there's a famous conversation that he talks about where they said, your beer better be bloody good. And he said, your football team better be bloody good.
Oh,
and
then far they both out.
Just went bang. Boom.
Far yeah. out.
So imagine you signing an NRL club before you sold your first beer.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
That is fucking wild. I'm really happy with where we're headed. I think especially Ben Eichen returning, we saw a real difference. There's something about that cultural manager. You know what I mean? It's like a nothing role. Like if you said, like, is it a lawyer? Is it a doctor? Is it an analyst? Is it? But again, it reflects back on that, the idea that I was talking about when it comes to what it means to be a Bronco or a Storm player. Culture is this vague term that means nothing, but it also fucking means everything. And I think it was really important getting Eichen in to go to, so Walters could go, I'm just the coach, you give me the fucking players. Because the problem in NFL teams do this a lot.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you give the coach too much power, they begin recruiting to keep their job.
Yep.
So you're recruiting just to get to the next year, just to get to the next year. When you take recruitment out of the coach's hands, your sole goal is developing for the future, then your decisions are not being biased or being, muddied by the desperation to keep your job. And so you can't have a coach doing all the recruiting because he's going to be constantly biased by his own need to keep his contract. Whereas if you bring a culture guy in, his bias is purely long-term. And I think that Ben Eichen is showing that.
As a Broncos man yourself, if Michael Morgan doesn't flick that pass out and you lose that grand final, where are you? I often think about it, like Milford would be a Clive Churchill medalist. He'd be a premiership winner. He'd still be one of the best players in the game, I reckon. Like Ben Hunt wouldn't be at the Dragons. Ben Hunt would probably be the Kangaroos halfback by now, I would argue. And people laugh at that, but if they win that premiership...
People forget how good Ben Hunt was. Yeah, go watch 2015. He was fucking incredible.
They're not
incredible.
A top four team without Ben Hunt. I would argue they potentially missed the finals without Ben Hunt that year, but no one remembers it.
Yeah, he was incredible. But the abuse he copped for that drop ball, when in reality... The guys missing the tackles before and the guys that, you know, turning in and that flick pass, everything, like a lot of people in that team made huge errors. It wasn't just one error in that last grand final. It was multiple errors by multiple players in a 10-minute period. We had that game won. I felt like we dominated most of that game. And it was a 10-minute period of switching off that killed us. And now it's just changed everything. It's truly changed everybody.
Ben Hunt came fifth in the Dally M's that year, and he was the only Bronco in the top 10.
Yep.
Wow. I tell you what, it shows you how good Wayne Bennett is, though, where you only have one person in the top 10 and you took the grand final to a fucking... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's mate, Anthony Milford was a top 10 player in rugby.
I honestly... Like, I'm going to say something crazy, bro. I honestly thought he was going to be like an immortal.
Immortal, yeah, I know, yeah.
That's how good he was playing, though. Did you not think the same
thing? The first time I ever... One of my best mates made his debut for the Tigers years ago, and it was down in Canberra, so we drove down. And he was playing, and you know, I was stoked for him and watching him, but I was just watching this kid on the other team. It was like he was playing touch football, and I said to my mate after, I go, is that that Milford kid? He goes, mate, we couldn't fucking touch him.
Mate.
We couldn't, like, if when the, every time they had a scrum, we just went, Christ,
yeah,
what on earth are we going to do here? Like, you go back and watch those old Raiders highlights on him. It's unbelievable. And then you watch 2015, he was learning a new position.
Yeah.
And he was still a top 10 player in the game.
He was just... He was unstoppable because he had the ball skills, but he was so strong and low center of gravity. I truly believe, I was like, if this kid keeps on this trajectory, he's going to be in a, like, he was unstoppable. It is, it's so, it's such a missed opportunity the way his career ended up, you know?
It's like, unbelievable how it's played out.
Yeah. I feel sorry for him, man. He got, it's that one team town that, you know, one thing I will say that I do feel sorry for the boys, it's a double-edged sword. You know, they get all the benefits of everything that the people that come before them built. So they get the benefits of Lockie's incredible Webkey. You know, they built this incredible club. But the negative that comes with that is they also got the pressure. And so it's when you've got young men that can have a tendency to become entitled because you're at the Broncos, you're the fucking man, and you know everyone loves the Broncos, you're the biggest fan base, your club's making millions each year. It's a very hard balance between letting those young men know, yes, you have these entitlements, but boy, you got to understand the pressure that's going to come with that. And I think a lot of those boys coming through, when the pressure really hit, it was almost too much, understandably so, because they got pizzled.
Mate, I would argue, like I just said to you, if you would have won that grand final, what would it mean? I reckon Brisbane are in a better spot right now if you would have come sixth that year and you would have gone out in week one of finals.
Yeah, I agree.
You would have been better than losing a grand final in the most unbelievable circumstances ever and then completely screwing your halves over for the next 3 years off the back of pressure and criticism.
Yeah, because they got absolutely annihilated. Like,
I still think Milford was the best player on the field that night. Absolutely. I really do. I have no doubt about it.
I agree.
I think Jack Reid was probably second. He brained it in that game as well. No one talks about it.
Yeah, it's talk about sliding doors moment. Far out. I feel like that grand final, above all grand finals, the fallout from it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The more you think about it, the deeper it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we haven't even spoken about Wayne Bennett. If they win that here, I think he's still at Brisbane.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then there's no longer the argument from the higher ups of like, we haven't won a premiership in 15 years. It's like, mate, one fucking 4 years ago. Look,
ambush coming.
Ambush is coming, guys. I apologise. You may as well not watch the footy this year because your team's going to get pumped by 50 by the Broncos. Stranger things have happened.
Selling me with confidence.
But yeah, Payne Haas, he is a demigod and he is the future.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.